The library in Plains, Kansas has become a kind of modern drive-in, with people idling their cars in the parking lot, streaming video on the library Wi-Fi. Ashley Leal has a blue laptop up against her wheel. Her son is glued to his tablet.
It's like the only place that has Wi-Fi. Watching Netflix while I figure this out. Keep him entertained.
She needed to look up how to write a formal letter. Her home internet was too slow to get the job done. Leal's situation isn't unusual. 40% of rural Americans have no access to broadband, and the growth of streaming video is straining existing networks.
It's insane. Netflix is 42% of our total internet traffic.
Catherine Moyer is CEO of Pioneer Communications, a small internet service provider in nearby Ulysses. She's looking at graphs of the previous day's bandwidth usage.
What you're seeing are the peaks of the busy hours. If it's just general traffic, there's one that goes to Kansas City, there's one that goes to Denver. If it's Netflix traffic, we will shove it onto this circuit, which peers directly with Netflix.
Netflix doesn't pay the ISP a dime, but Netflix is driving Pioneer's need to upgrade its network. Those upgrades are especially expensive in rural areas. It takes more cable to pipe internet between small towns, and the costs are split between fewer people. Moyer estimates getting gigabit speeds to everyone in her service area, around 15,000 people, would cost $50 million.
It's definitely doable. The biggest hurdle for us will always be how to pay for it.
Ajit Pai is chairman of the Federal Communications Commission, and he grew up in Parsons. He thinks the key to getting that kind of money for rural broadband is deregulation.
What is responsible for the phenomenal development of the internet? Well, it certainly wasn't heavy-handed government regulation.
Last December, Pai led an FCC vote to ditch net neutrality, a set of regulations barring internet providers from speeding up or slowing down specific websites or content. He says the move would unburden industry and unleash investment.
Broadband providers will have stronger incentives to build networks, especially in unserved areas, and to upgrade networks to gigabit speeds and 5G.
Moyer says that there's some truth to Pai's ideas. Without net neutrality, ISPs are now free to bargain with bandwidth hogs like Netflix.
You could approach a provider and say, I will prioritize your traffic for X number of dollars.
She says that her company, as a co-op, would reinvest that extra money into its network. But John Peja, professor at Carnegie Mellon University and former chief technologist at the FCC, worries that large ISPs will misuse their newfound power to block competition. And he's skeptical undoing net neutrality will spur broadband development.
If you look at what the actual ISPs have said, not to the FCC, but to their shareholders, in legally binding language, they have said net neutrality regulations did not impede their investment.
Putting the net neutrality debate aside, it's clear that it's going to take a lot of money, whether public or private, to get rural internet up to speed. Kansas lawmakers thought about requiring ISPs and content providers like Netflix to pay into a fund for rural broadband infrastructure, but that didn't seem feasible. Instead, they've agreed on setting up a task force to map out where infrastructure is most needed and how to fund it. Catherine Moyer went to high school in Ulysses, so for her, finding a solution is personal.
Just because you grew up in rural America doesn't mean you should have second-class things or shouldn't have access to the things that your peers do have in urban America.
Things like being able to take an advanced math class in high school or being able to see a dermatologist. For the Kansas News Service, I'm Ben Kiebrick.